and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Big Friday show. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Well, she must have heard
that
I've been singing her praises all week. Because look who else has popped out of the television onto our radio show. Tamron Hall from MSNBC. Hi, Tamron.
Hey, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning. I was talking about you this week because I love that. I love anchors that just call bull on people. Because, you know, there's always this, like, oh, we have to seem fair and balanced. And I don't know who it was that you had on that was saying there are no racist elements at all in the Tea Party. And
yeah,
you're like,
that's who that was. But
right, Stephanie, you're like, yeah, what about the sign with the bone through the nose of the president?
You see that everywhere, don't you? Come on.
Yeah.
We all have a bone in our nose.
Yeah.
Stephanie, we have a lot of things to talk about, but I've got to tell you, I was on hold waiting for you.
Yes.
Why do I have to listen to Funky Cole Medina?
Uh-oh.
It's because it's the gauntlet you must run to be on the esteemed Stephanie Miller newscast.
I'm going to have Stockholm Syndrome. Is she trying to brainwash me?
Tamron, it's actually a loop of Wild Thing, the other Tone Loc hit.
I knew it was Tone Loc.
Yeah.
Which sounds exactly like Funky Cold Medina, and we apologize. No, because I just, you know, that's to me good journalism. When it's just, you know, again, it's not necessarily right or left, but it's just when you cut through somebody that is just, I mean, and I said this the other night, I was on Larry King, and Ben Stein was doing the same thing, denying there is any racism in the Tea Party at all. And I'm like, look. Be honest. Like I said, like same thing you said. Like you haven't seen the sign with the watermelons on the White House lawn. You have. Yeah.
He went on to say that actually the people carrying the signs were members of the NAACP who had infiltrated the rally and held the signs. But I think it's a testament to when someone wants to be deceptive, they will. And I don't think that that's about perspective, because we all have different perspective. I grew up in Texas. My dad was a master sergeant in the Army. My mom is an educator. We see things differently. But
right.
Then there's that element that, you know, they're just lying.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
You wonder why they are doing it. And in the case of Mark Williams, I think it was telling before the end of the interview, he tried to hawk his book.
Right. He actually said, buy my book.
Yeah,
isn't that like an old, isn't that a Simpsons character?
Yeah, I thought he was going to start selling Oxywash or whatever. I mean, you know, and I want to always be fair to people, but there does come a point where it's not about being fair. It's not about being balanced. It's about truth. And
right.
If he could not acknowledge that there were signs and simply say, Tamron, listen, we can't control everyone. Thousands of people show up at these rallies, and you're right, there are signs out there. And when I see them or when people on my team see those signs, we immediately approach the person and say, listen, take it down. You're hurting our movement.
Right. Well, you know, Tamron,
and
I think people like you and I are not, on the other hand, saying everybody in the Tea Party is racist. But to deny there's – right. Right.
They have valid – point. In fact, I said that on air, and I got blasted by my friends on the left and my friends on the right. You know, they
right.
come after me on certain issues. But people were very upset when I said that there are some valid issues, and there are spending.
Right.
Yes, that's something that we should be
yes.
talking about.
Right.
Should we be demanding the full text of the president's birth certificate and dig his family members up to check his, you know, lineage?
Right.
No, that's
right.
ridiculous.
Well, and Mark Williams, may I just say, he should have media whore on the chyron underneath him, because did you see that he came out and said, oh, I sympathize with Shirley Sherrod because we're both really victims of the same thing.
And
no.
End it with saying, buy my book.
You know? Yeah, and buy my book.
And buy my book.
Yeah, I mean, I got to get your take on the Shirley Sherrod thing, because, boy, I mean, in some ways, this really is more a story about journalism than anything. I mean, it is really a sad state of affairs, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's interesting that the first day I saw the edited tape, it was a couple of days after it had been playing out on the conservative blogs and on Fox News. And I worked for Fox News local for 10 years, and obviously it's very different from the Fox News cable channel. But
right.
I have to tell you, it was like a kick in my stomach when CNN, and they deserve the credit, played that entire tape.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I had been wrong. Everyone had been wrong.
Didn't you just go, man, that tape seems like it was made just for Fox News almost. That seems so perfect.
It did, but, you know, I think we're so, when you get these things in, and it's a, I hate that teachable moment, but
right.
It really is a teachable moment.
Maybe we can chase that from the lexicon after this story.
Let's do that, yes. That and Tone Loc. But
it's like when someone breaks your heart and says, yes, but didn't you learn a lot from this? And you're like, well, yes, I learned that you're Satan.
I hate you.
Yes.
But,
now screw off.
Interesting with Shirley Sherrod, you know, we jumped on this and went for it. And I don't know why. I'm still trying to digest the psychology here because consider the source, where it came from, which was Andrew Breitbart, and that went out the window. I mean, this guy got a benefit of the doubt with this edited tape that was circulated, and it just snowballed out of control. But I believe, and I don't want to sound too Southern cliche here, I do think everything happens for a reason, and to wake up the media and to wake up the viewers, something of this magnitude had to happen in such a way. For example, the farmer is 87, and he's still alive.
Right.
And not only did he say he remembered her, he's like, oh, she's a part of the family. You know, it's such fools of everyone.
Although, according to Andrew Breitbart, perhaps a plant. Perhaps that's the fake part of the story.
We look for old 87-year-old farmers and brainwash them and tell them what to say. It's absurd. What he thinks at this point matters not. It's what we learn at this point. He's not even a valid part of the conversation because he can't even offer up this innocent woman an apology, and that tells you not only about perhaps his journalistic integrity, if you want to call it that, it may even tell you about his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the part that joins us all together, whether you're on the right or the left, it is about humanity. It's about morality. And if you can't see that, then you're in it for yourself and you're not in it for this country.
Mm-hmm. Tamron, but, you know, I think further subject is what's happened to journalism? I mean, has people gotten lazy? Is it just, is there too much panic because of the 24-hour news cycle and the blogs that people have to react? You know, like the president said, like the White House, they had to react, had to react.
And no, I don't think it's laziness. I think it is a rush, though, to be first, and that's nothing new. I mean, we've seen that. Remember the Richard Jewell? I'll just throw some. There have been other examples. Remember Richard Jewell?
Right.
Cable news wasn't the force it is today when that story happened. I do think, you know, it is a money-making entity. It is a place where people want to keep their jobs. You are patted on the back when you're first, and it's right. And I think that it's just that desire that overwhelmed sometimes, and I'm not validating it, I'm not defending it, because it's wrong. There's no, my father used to always tell me, of all his kids, I was the one for right. I don't know if that's always true, but I do think the bottom line in this, it is wrong, and it was wrong, and it remains. I don't care how many apologies you give her, that woman, 60-something years old, pulled over on the side of the road, forced to resign, and demonized across the board. She's not prepared for this. She's not a celebrity who went out seeking this, although she's handling it like a pro. But I think the media, I don't know. You know, I get notes from people who say, Edward R. Murrow would roll over in his grave.
Well,
I'm not trying to be ever.
Right. Well, you know, it is interesting. We'll see whether she, you know, she, I guess, still considering whether to take this, a unique position,
mm-hmm.
which I said she's a bigger woman than I would have said, you know what, Vilsack, you're in a unique position to kiss my black ass. That's what you're in a unique position to do.
One option.
But that's why I've never offered those jobs, Tamron. That's why I remain in the gutter in radio.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have taken. I wouldn't probably take the job. I mean, I don't know. She's obviously equipped to do so many other things. She's so well spoken, and just her energy from watching her in these interviews. I don't know. She could probably go on to do far greater things.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep. Tamron, it's interesting. While Edward R. Murrow is still spinning in his grave as we speak. What I mean, Fox News, I don't want to just focus on them, but I mean, it really is stunning, isn't it, that Dan Rather lost his job and his whole career over reporting a story that was true, essentially with one document that wasn't authenticated. And, you know, this happens time and time again at Fox, and, you know, we just move on. You know, people lose their jobs and their livelihoods and their careers, and people just, oh, well.
You know why they move on?
Why?
They're number one.
Yeah.
Somebody's watching them, and it's not me, it's not you, but, you know, like I said, I'm from Texas, and I go into a store, and if there's a TV on, it's on Fox. I don't know how to answer that. Right. I know that my mother, again, she lives in a small town in Texas. She's got a guy who comes out and does some lawn work for her. He's a white guy out of a job, young man with a couple of kids, and he still thinks that President Obama was born in another country. Man, he's a friend of my mom. You know, he's black, by the way.
And is he like, your daughter Tamara, she works for that communist network, don't she?
Exactly. But he and my mother sat him down and said, you're receiving food stamps, right? Yes. You're getting unemployment. Yes. You're the same person that your party blames and says you're lazy, that you really don't want to look for a job, that you shouldn't get your unemployment benefits extended. Because you're just sitting around taking a free lunch.
Right.
You know, you have no insurance for your two infants, and your party says that's okay. But he believes it, and we love him to death. His name is Todd. So, Todd, if you're listening, hey. But, you know, he loves it.
Hey, Todd. Anchor from the Socialist Network says hi.
Exactly.
Tamara, before we go, it is going to be interesting, the midterms, in terms of, you covering it journalistically. Yeah. I mean, it is interesting how people are trying to handle this Tea Party. I mean, John Boehner yesterday admitted that, some of the people there want to kill all of us in public office. The anger and then some of the tactics some of these candidates are taking. Rand Paul, and I don't know if you saw Sharon Engel's 3-minute
run
through a parking structure, which she called a news conference yesterday. But this is, and Sarah Palin took this tack. How do you cover people that will not be covered because they know they may say something so stupid as to be unelectable?
But that's, again, it's not in our hands, meaning the media, meaning people like you and I, because the voter has to see that. And the voter has to say in Nevada, wait a minute, this woman won't answer questions. How can I don't know who she is.
Right.
I can't tackle her and shove a mic in her face. You better answer this question. You know, what's this insane?
Right.
So at some point, we're not there to think for the voter.
Yep.
They're there to think for themselves, and that's a part of the whole phenomenon of that cable network you were just talking about. They think for some of their viewers, they shove it down their throats, and then that person then takes it, they tell their neighbor, they tell the friends at church, and it becomes truth to them, rather than going out and finding the information. You know, whether you pick up the newspaper, my mom still gets the paper, which I didn't know people.
I do. I get the paper.
She reads it every morning. I'm not saying she's perfect. She grew up in a small town. Yeah. My grandfather had a second grade education. He's a farmer. You can be engaged without being able to debate Chuck Todd. I mean, you don't have to be on that level.
Right.
But common sense, you turn on the evening news and you see this woman who's running for Senate running from the press. I shouldn't have to connect the dots for you.
Yep.
And I think that the people of Nevada will make a decision that I don't think we'll all be all
Tamara,
stunning there.
First of all, you shouldn't feel bad. Nobody should feel bad if they can't debate Chuck Todd. You know why?
Because
it rhymes with God. that's going to be a challenge in the midterms. I mean, you have Rand Paul who basically said, I don't think blacks should be able to eat at the same lunch counter. Okay, I got to go. No more questions.
But the thing is that he's not the only person who thinks that.
That's true.
Perhaps in his state, he's not, I'm not going to say the majority, but he's not alone. Let's face it, he's not alone in people who think that. And when you look at the polling on the flip side, while Sarah Palin is very popular, even within the Republican Party, her numbers are in the 30% range on people who believe she's qualified to be the president. So I do believe that there
is a curve. Even normal Republicans are like, she's pretty and quippy, but not so much presidential material.
And maybe she does articulate how they feel when she says, I'm speaking for the little guy, and they say, thank you, but I don't want you to be my president.
Yeah. Well, I'm not.
There could be a balance.
I'm not going to refute that, Tamara. Tamara Hall is the rockin' anchor on MSNBC Live weekday mornings and co-anchors the weekly afternoons, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern. Tamara, please come back. It's such a pleasure.
Absolutely, Stephanie. Thank you so much.
If for nothing else, to annoy Todd. Your mom's teabagger friend. All right.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Tamara.
Bye, honey.
Bye-bye. There she goes.
Oh, she called you honey.
She's rocking. I love her. I did the thing with the phone again. Yes. Sorry. I don't know how to make it stop. Uh-oh.
No, stop it. I'll do it. Okay.
Did you just yell at me on air?
Yes.
Stop it. Don't touch it.
Sorry. It's going to be that kind of day.
I remember I stayed with a friend once when I was going back and forth in New York and L.A. And like you touch somebody's remote wrong or something.
Yeah, uh-huh.
They just look at you sadly and shake their head. They're like, you did it wrong.
Yeah.
Don't touch it. Stop it.
Stop it.
Okay, 20 minutes after the hour. Got a big, big show. We're going to hear from John Fugelsang because it's Friday.
That's right.
We have Rachel Sklar from Mediaite.com. We have Senator Bernie Sanders. We got a big, big show. Don't go away. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Side effects may include loss of clothing, rug burn, shortness of breath, and sore abdominals the next morning. What in the world is up?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 26 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I've been back in California, what, like a month? A month?
Yeah.
I'm officially a hippy-dippy California dope.
Why?
I went to the chiropractor and the acupuncturist yesterday. As you know, I'm a complete physical wreck.
Yes.
I have a broken foot, and I'm throwing my back out every other day because of crutches and crawling and the Flavin.
Uh-huh.
And so I mentioned to him that I have insomnia. The acupuncturist?
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to putting the needles in me for the... oh, by the way, I screamed out the F word. You're not supposed to do that in acupuncture.
No, you're supposed to stay, like, really still.
Well, one of them hurt, so I'm just saying I had a... Yeah. I was like, oh, sorry about
that. When you stick needles in your skin, it can hurt, you know?
Well, sometimes they hit a little nerve or something. That doesn't... Yeah! Anyway, so because some people swear by that it heals a bone faster. I don't know if that's true, but I'm doing it anyway.
Oh, boy.
So then he put seeds in my ears when I told him I have insomnia. Swear to God, these little seeds, he stuck them in the sides of my ears. He's like, this helps insomnia. I'm like,
how?
Okay.
Did he explain how?
No. Meanwhile, I was up all night last night. I think the seeds had the opposite effect on me. Then he gave me some herbs to help heal my bone faster. I took those too. I'm taking everything. I'm taking here. Would you like me to review? These are the fun facts of Mama's Grandma's Pills. It takes a lot. That's why I get here late. It takes a long time to gather my pills. I'm taking calcium, magnesium, vitamin D, zinc. I'm taking glucosamine, chondroitin, dehydrolyzed collagen. I'm taking arginine, L-carnitine. They're amino acids. SAMe. I think that's it. Oh, and now these new Chinese herbs that he just gave me that are supposed to heal my bone faster. And I'm stimulating my bone as we speak. I have a bone stimulator.
Hmm.
All right.
All right.
Charles.
don't get me started.
Charles in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Fox News. Hello, Charles.
Yes, yes. Good morning. Enjoyed the interview with Tamron Hall.
Yeah, she's awesome, right?
She sure is. And but the thing regarding Fox is just don't believe anything Fox tells you.
Yeah, that's exactly, you know, the and I think Rachel Maddow did a great piece on this. I think Tamron mentioned it too, is that, yeah, they have ratings. They're, you know, they're the right-wing circus freak show. I watch them for entertainment sometimes, but you're exactly right, Charles. Don't believe anything you see on it. That's exactly the lesson from this. And I've said it over and over. It's just not news. It's entertaining. It's whatever. It's. I believe Shano's given us a little tribute to Shirley Sherrod.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And call me Shirley.
Sherrod.
So Vilsack has apologized and has offered her a new position. They're calling it, Chris, a unique position. A unique position.
Without a doubt, Ms. Sherrod is owed. I would do so certainly on behalf of this administration.
If I were her, I would say, you know what? You're in a unique position to kiss my black ass. That's what I would say. But see, that's why I don't have one of those positions, because I have no class.
And you have no black ass.
It's actually black and blue, for those of you keeping track. Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour, Rachel Sklar from Mediaite.com on the Sarah Palin and what's his name? I can't keep the trips and the trigs and the people, but...
Oh, Levi.
Levi story, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You drink, don't you? Alcohol, I mean.
Oh, a little.
A little. I thought...
Stephanie Miller.
Drank to excess.
Sorry, we were just busy having our own little version of whatever happened to Baby Steffi. Just because I'm in this lawn chair, I have a bad back and I'm a motorized scooter next to me. But Rebecca just came in and said something. You're like, did you hear that? I'm not deaf.
Well, it's because I often say something to you and you choose not to hear me.
Huh?
Yeah.
You wouldn't treat me this way if I wasn't in this lawn chair.
But you are in that lawn chair. You are.
Thank you. All right. 34
the
minutes.
Stephanie Miller players.
34 with another impromptu skit. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Joined by one of our personal favorites, Rachel Scarf from Mediaite.com, joins us now. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, Stephanie. Hi.
I'm used to only running into you in green rooms of some sort.
That's true. Well, we're both heavily made up.
Media gadflies that we are. Exactly. So you had a great piece on the... who doesn't love this story? The whole Levi Johnson reuniting with a Bristol story. You write, your story is paging Mama Grizzly, because you have to love this whole... There's what's not to love, right?
I mean, it is incredibly juicy. It's really, the Palins are a delightful spectator sport until you realize that there's the actual running of a country hanging in the balance.
Yeah, exactly. And then you sort of, the bloom is off the rose. But right. you start your piece by saying, I am in love with this Bristol Palin Levi Johnson engagement story. Can you be in love with a story, Rachel? I guess you can.
But if you work in media, you sort of have to. Like you do, you fall for certain stories. I was on an airplane when I saw that. I was on a plane and I wrote that on a plane, and I was just so, it was so riveting. It was like, cause you know, you're online on a plane. You have every excuse to not really engage. You can say,
right,
oh, I fell asleep, or we had hit turbulence or whatever. But all I wanted to do was find out more and more and more about Bristol Palin and Levi Johnson reuniting, and what Sarah Palin had to think about it, or had to say about it rather, and, you know, did she know? That was a genuinely surprising turn of the tale.
Yeah, don't you just hear cha-ching, cha-ching somewhere in this whole story?
Oh,
the changing of money. You're kind of going, and you know all the things he originally said were true, don't you?
Well, one assumes, but you know, then again, we don't have. I'm a former lawyer, so I would say that we don't have what we call a very credible witness here.
Yes,
you're right. Our lovebirds have a problem looming over their story of perfect togetherness as a giant mama grizzly rearing up on her hind legs and letting out a mighty roar. Yeah, that was my favorite part too. Is that Bristol says she made the announcement on a magazine where most parents would like to hear that sort of thing. And then she said it is intimidating and scary just to think about what her reaction is going to be, which is kind of her saying, my mom's kind of a giant freak, isn't it?
Well, I mean, Sarah Palin has reason to not be pleased with this latest turn of events, unless, of course, she engineered it. And,
right,
and everybody is looking forward to the payday. I mean, you can't really know.
Right.
The uber cynical among us think that the entire thing has been staged, planned, and, you know, is the perfect narrative arc for Sarah Palin's triumphant return to the stage. I mean, I said in the piece, it takes you back to that 2008 tableau where,
yes,
it's all RNC.
Right. It's all magically restored now. Look, all the family values are back.
Yeah, but even better because everybody's learned a lesson.
Yeah, I get. No, you mentioned that in the piece that, you know, Gawker's speculating the same thing. That is this all a really cynical? Is this a reality show? That's what you can't figure out. Who knew what when? Right.
Right. Exactly. And you know what? I have to say that I've always found Bristol and Levi to actually be quite likable. I mean, I found, particularly, you know, after the split and when Levi sort of struck out on his own, I did find him to be a very likable character. Even the Playgirl stuff, I was like, all right, shake your moneymaker a bit, whatever, do what you gotta do.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah.
You're a young buck from Alaska, nice hockey playing dude, like, do it up.
And he seemed really likable.
Getting good.
He seemed really likable in that Kathy Griffin episode.
Oh, well, first of all, I love Kathy Griffin so much, but really anybody that she you know, anoints, I'm cool with.
Yeah,
yeah, right. You write about the Scooby-Doo moment of, you said 8 months ago Levi Johnson was ensconced in the banquet at the Box, flanked by porn stars. stars in the most debaucherous of New York City's most liberal media elite, about to be presented with an award in the form of an 11-inch sterling silver sex toy. Now he's back in the Palin brood, Bristol by his side, baby in arms. I mean, it really
is. It is a rather vivid picture. But it's all true. I was there that night, the Fleshbot Awards that Gawker held, and I did not personally interact with Levi. I knew he was there, but I witnessed the presentation of the aforementioned 11-inch sterling silver toys.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
everybody was blown away by them. How's that?
You know, I love the one line in your piece. You say, Going Rogue has not only been a title of Palin's book, it's been a way of life for the entire family, except that you want to be a fly on the wall because you don't know what the truth is. Is it awkward silence at dinner, or are they just laughing their asses off, cashing the checks?
You know what? They do. And everything that, you know, that, I mean, obviously all of their PR is very carefully orchestrated. You know, it's Sarah Palin has not had an unplanned or unprotected moment, really, in her entire political career, at least on the national stage. So it's hard to know, but they do come off as an extremely likable, gregarious family. And I have to say, I have a friend from Wasilla, I do, who says that everybody likes Sarah Palin and that everybody knows her and that she's, you know, that she is extremely well liked up there.
Wow. Cause she seems like straight out of the cast of Mean Girls to me.
In the sort of unfolding last year and a half, absolutely. But, you know, there's a whole slice of the country, obviously, that can't get enough of her.
Yeah, I suppose. She's quippy, Rachel. I'll give her that.
She is. And she makes for good copy.
Yeah.
No, it's true. And it's this whole, she's of our age. It's like she just tweets or Facebooks everything, like some kind of snotty eighth grade girl. I just was trying to picture Abraham Lincoln tweeting the Gettysburg Address, you know.
Not quite the same level of gravitas. She's really been, she has used media so brilliantly. Glynis McNichol, who I know you guys talked to earlier this week, my colleague, has just been saying for months and months now that Sarah Palin is the most brilliant media manipulator she's ever seen. I mean, she basically started the whole death panels, all those shenanigans started from her Facebook page. Like, who else changes the face of a national debate from their Facebook page?
Oh, please. You and I get dragged out every other day and have to put makeup on to go talk about something she said on TV. It's like, oh, geez, Sarah Palin said what?
Put a whole industry around her.
Yeah, right. Rachel, let's talk. I mean, before you go, we got to get to the Shirley Sherrod story because, boy, if ever there was a media creation that is indicative of this 24-hour news cycle, and things get on the blogs, and then people don't want to be too late, so they got to react, and look what's happened here, right?
That's it's a terrible story, a terribly sad story, and an incredibly revealing one. Incredibly revealing in terms of how it was handled by Vilsack and then the White House. You know, even the part where it says that, you know, you've got to pull over the side of the road because this is going to be on the Glenn Beck show. It's like, really? Is Glenn Beck dictating national policy now? And you sort of think like, maybe a little. You know, maybe a little. That's scary. It's just a sad. It's a sad.
I know,
story because
Rachel.
She's been, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say. I mean, no. I made the analogy yesterday. I mean, first of all, Glenn Beck. Not saying he's not entertaining, but crazy, completely crazy, completely off his mind. And you're right. To the fact that he's dictating policy in some way at the White House. I mean, I was making the analogy. I had a friend that worked at a psych institute, and she used to talk about what was her name? Oh, Shirley, her whose buttons screamed to her on her nightgown every day, and you know, told her different things. And that would be like them going, oh well, let's fire somebody because Shirley's going to make an announcement about what her buttons say at 5 o'clock. It's like,
well, if those buttons then, you know, then blasted out to the Fox News audience and the audience of all the people who then turn around and write about it, then, you know, the echo chamber just pings and pings away. And then before you know it, of course, the White House hears it.
But like, don't you think, Rachel, if there is any silver lining, it is that, you know, this certainly is a cautionary tale. Don't you think it's going to have to necessarily affect how things, you know, play out in the future and stuff like this? When tape surfaces
one would hope so. Mm-hmm. One would definitely hope so, you know, and I think you know, the next time a sort of scurrilous clip surfaces from, you know, Breitbart or Drudge or something like that, there will be that at least 5 seconds of asking, hey, could there maybe be more?
Right.
But, you know, I think it's just been, we're in a knee-jerk era. Like,
yep.
That's what it is. And to a certain respect, like, we're all about our reflexes now.
Yep.
There is no time for sitting and carefully considering something. If you don't react or respond, if you're not, like, in the media, you know, if you're not the first one who has it up, you know, like, let alone, you know, writing it up in a blog post, like, you better tweet that.
Yeah.
Someone else might.
Yep, exactly.
It's a bit of a crazy time.
Exactly.
I've only been doing this for, you know, just over 5 years, and I find myself lately saying, like, back in my day when I started, we didn't even have YouTube, you know?
Exactly. Well, Rachel, the only reason I bring it up is there is tape of me and on a date with Greg Brady at the Emmys a few years ago, and it's just not what it seems is all I'm telling you, just before I'm just saying, give me a call before you print anything about it.
It sounds super hot, I got to be honest.
Rachel Sklar from Mediaite.com, always a pleasure. Please come back and visit with us again.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. There she goes, Rachel Sklar from... I usually, we're both usually have fake eyelashes on when we see each other. We're in Joy Behar or somewhere. Well, all right.
Not anymore. I mean, she's in New York.
Yes.
So,
I used to run into her in the green room in New York.
So you're here now, so you're probably not going to run into her as much.
I'm in a lawn chair in Los Angeles now, and that's where I'll stay.
Oh, 40... God.
Oh, dear. My little life. 45 minutes after the hour. Oh, I have somebody sent me news about their Johnson, which I will...
What? Huh?
We will...
Can you do that?
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A mecca of misdemeanors.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Don't tell everyone to
lighten up. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Senator Bernie Sanders coming up next hour. Dory in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Sherrod story. Hello, Dory.
Stephanie, I love you.
I love you back.
Why, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised no one else has said this. Why are they offering her another job? Can't they just give her her old job back and maybe a raise and just shut up?
Well, I guess this is being, it said they're saying it's a promotion.
Okay, if they would just say promotion, but they make it sound like they're going to make her into the pretty little race relations puppet or something embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think it's kind of embarrassing. Admit you're wrong and move on.
Yep, I hear you. Let's go to Deborah in Buffalo. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Deb.
You know, you were my hero on Defending the President, but I'm disappointed in you lately.
Uh-oh. Now what have I done?
Well, you agree with that scathing special comment of Keith Olbermann the other day, whom I normally like, and I'm going to call him Mr. Wolfman Hands right now because I don't like him. He said that the president didn't even try to call her when the president had been trying to call her. He tried to call her twice, and he couldn't get a hold of
Deb,
her.
Deb, wait a minute. First of all, I didn't agree. You know, I didn't necessarily say I agreed with everything the special comment. I think Jim and I were saying that I agreed with the spirit of the fact that, you know this, Deb, that a lot of the president's detractors, they are not interested in doing anything that will help him. I mean, I understand he's trying to reach out and be bipartisan, but, you know, I guess what his point was, a lot of them don't even think you're president. They don't even think you were born here and you're trying to... So I think he did, obviously, the White House did, and even he said, overreact to the Shirley Sherrod thing, right? I mean, because they're afraid of what Fox News is going to say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody screwed up. All the media, the president's staff, but not the president himself.
Right.
And I know it's a reflection on the president, but just because Keith is Keith doesn't mean he's right all the time.
Right. Oh, I know. I agree. I don't agree with everything he says. And you know, I didn't mean to criticize the president specifically. I just was saying that, you know, at least I've never seen it like this, Deborah, this kind of... just rhetoric on the other side. Literally, they've said it. They want to break him. They want him to lose. That's all it's about.
I think he needs some people you know, that can just handle that part, because I think the president has too much to do to handle that, that crap. But I want to remind you of something, because they've been saying on the news that the president, you know, doesn't go after Fox News. Remember when they, the White House tried to go after Fox News? They got backlash like crazy.
Right.
Because they said they were trying to, you know, mess up the free speech aspect of it. So, I mean, it just seems like there's nothing this president can do that he gets any credit for.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm with you on that. At this point, the good news is you don't have to go after Fox News. You know, I mean, it speaks for itself what just happened.
Yep.
Why do you think, by the way, did you see Bill O'Reilly's the only one that apologized? But it's because I think he knows how bad this looks journalistically, and he has to seem like the least crazy person there.
Yeah, he apologized, and he turned right around and called her divisive. So it was a half-assed apology, just like,
yeah.
Ew, yeah. I hate that man.
Sal in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, on the Sherrod story. Hello, Sal.
Hey, hello. How you doing today? First of all, I want to talk about what she said about Keith Olbermann. Here we are talking about rushing the judgment, and she never even listened to what the special comment was. You have to listen to it twice. I listened to it twice. He was right on. Everybody's trying. Oh, she's saying Obama didn't call. Hey, it doesn't matter if he called her or not. The thing about it, Obama is not being true to himself. And let me talk about it. Do I have like 30 seconds?
Sure, go ahead.
From a scientific standpoint, here it is. And this is why Obama is going down in the polls, I believe. From a scientific standpoint, there are three types of civilizations. One, we are in a class one, class two, class three civilization. Class one civilization are people that use fossil fuels, plants and stuff from the earth. Class two civilizations are people that can harness the energies of the sun and use other resources outside in space, and class three civilizations are people that can use the power of the solar system. In other words, getting stuff from Neptune, Jupiter, and all of that stuff. But we are definitely a class one society. Let me tell you.
Getting stuff from Neptune and Jupiter?
I got the Scooby-Doo hit. Oh, I don't want to get the Scooby-Doo hit. But anyway, we're a class one society on the verge of transitioning to a class two society. The important thing about that
is... this going to be on the test?
Yes, it is, and you better say it the rest of the show, too.
All right. Thank you, Sal. All I got from that is Mars needs women. That's what I picked up from that. All right.
What are we getting from Neptune and Jupiter?
Mars needs women.
That's what I learned from that. Now, back to the jokes. All right. Billy writes, Mama and the Mooks, I'd like to apply to be the official 20-something cubicle monkey of the Stephanie Miller Show. There you go.
I think we have a lot of those.
Second, I wanted to say I actually have a Johnson outboard on my Johnson boat, an unrelated brand. So if your bone stimulator isn't working well, feel free to come here to Tampa and take a ride on my 18-foot, 25-horsepower Johnson.
Wow.
Why, Billy, I haven't had an offer like that in quite some time. This all started from someone sent us a Johnson ad because, you know.
You got your sunrise.
Whee!
You caught a prize. You're making your Johnson. Party nights, summer whites. Your friends and your Johnson. Rooster tails, water trails. Your kids and your Johnson.
Oh, no.
Saturday nights, distant lights. Your girl and your Johnson.
You and your Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
Yeah, baby. Happy weekend, everybody. Alex in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Stephanie, how's it going?
Good. I'm going to Tampa to take a ride on someone's Johnson. What's not good about that?
Right, exactly. Levi Johnson, Johnsons are everywhere.
Yep.
I had a comment about Ms. Sherrod. I like you, watch Fox News sort of as entertainment. And
it's like a right-wing circus freak show, isn't it?
Well, it is, you know, and I mean, I would say that if I'm going to agree with a little of what they say, you know, it might be from O'Reilly's standpoint. I mean, I don't agree with him wholeheartedly, but they were sort of making some points in terms of her character. I saw her on The View yesterday, and, you know, they played the tape, and Alexandra Wentworth was guest hosting with the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing that I do have to say is, you know, I know that this was a very unfortunate thing that happened to this woman, you know, especially with her pulling over the side of the road. the thing is I think that with a lot of her, because she's been on a lot of the shows this week. She's been on, you know, like today.
Right, because a lot of people have asked her.
Everybody's asked her.
A lot of people have asked her, and, you know, she's been more than happy to sort of relay.
Sure.
I think, though, that, you know, and I was watching her on The View yesterday. I think that there's a lot of, though, at this point, of her personality. I think that she's sort of milking it for all it's worth, which, I mean, good for her. You know
well,
what I mean?
Sure, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would.
Woman. Yeah, exactly. You know, I'd be like, hey, look at me, everyone. You know what I mean? But I think that
Wait a minute, she didn't ask to get for this to happen to her.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, everybody, I need a job. Help me out.
Yeah, exactly. Hook me up, right? But, you know, it was interesting because sort of towards the end, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, of course, you know, she chimed in and she was like, well, there's a certain part of the video, actually, that a lot of people have not seen yet that happened sort of at the end of the video. We're going to go ahead and play that, and it's causing some controversy. I guess at the end of the video, she was giving the speech, she made it a point to say, she started talking about health care.
All right, we'll be right back with more on that. 58 minutes after the hour, Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Happy Friday. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice of deity Jim Ward, who just got here because he was spending quality time with his Johnson.
Quality time with my Johnson.
Okay.
My gal and my Johnson.
I'm sure Mrs. Ward is very happy this morning.
Yeah.
All right, just to even things out.
She's still asleep. Are you kidding? She wouldn't get up.
She wouldn't get up even for your Johnson.
What?
We just played the Johnson ad that someone sent. I've been offered a ride on someone's Johnson in Tampa.
Yeah. That commercial is still up on the Stephanie Miller Show Facebook page, so look for it.
So what is
that ad from exactly?
Is it an outboard engine
or
something?
Yeah, a Johnson motor is an outboard engine.
Yes, but I know, but didn't it mean the same thing back whenever they made that ad, the other
maybe
meaning?
Maybe it wasn't as widespread back then. I think the commercial, right, because of the hairstyles and stuff, looked like it was from about 1980 or so.
I think it was someone who was about to quit their job and wanted to
see if they could get that by.
Yeah.
And is still laughing their ass off several years later.
For it.
All right, just even things out. Someone has sent us a beaver stack. Jim, there's a careless beaver that is being blamed for a highway flooding in Ottawa.
Oh, dear.
Listen, if you're careless with your beaver, next thing you know, you got a flooded highway. The beaver's reputation as an expert engineer took a beating Wednesday night after a dam burst and flooded on a highway north.
Damn!
Forcing police to close the roadway for several hours.
Wow.
That's a careless beaver.
Yeah.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Don't be careless with your beaver. All right. Yesterday, I believe we played a bread song, which got us onto a whole discussion of wuss rock.
Yes.
The Stephanie Miller Show is the home of wuss rock.
Yes.
Of the 70s. Unfortunately, that opened the floodgates. Dane wanted to remind us that, the first one we mentioned was Sometimes When We Touch. Oh. That is Dan Hill.
Oh,
Dan Hill did
okay.
it. One of the all-time classic wuss rock songs.
That's not even a real piano.
A MIDI?
Yeah.
You ask me if I love
wuss.
You.
Oh.
And I choke on my reply.
Man up!
I'd rather hurt you honestly than mislead you with
a lie. Oh, boy. Here we go.
And who am I to judge you?
Ooh, went a little power ballad on us there.
What you say or do?
Went a little Knights in White Satin on us there.
Only just beginning to see the real you.
Here we go, the overwrought chorus.
Sometimes when we talk, the honesty is too much. And I have to close my eyes
to see where my testicles are hiding.
All right. Thank you, Dan Hill. All right. Let's see. Jay reminds us of pretty much anything Air Supply.
Ooh.
Open Arms and I'm All Out of Love.
Open Arms? I never heard of Open Arms.
I don't know if I know that one. I'm All Out of Love. Wuss, wuss, wuss. Yeah. Thank you, Jay.
Ugh, it's a 10-minute intro.
Yeah, exactly. But that's because he's all out of love. And apparently lyrics.
Yeah.
I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you.
I'm lying alone with my head on the phone.
What?
Thinking of you till it hurts.
Ugh.
I know you hurt. But what else can we do?
No, I'm fine, actually. You're too whiny for me.
Men's testicles really retreated into their bodies
the entire
in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Trying so hard to be sensitive so they'd get laid more.
I'm thinking that's why all these women left them, because they were too... Oh, man up! All right. Let's see.
Put on some Aerosmith, quick.
Hank says, James Taylor, king of limp rock. Oh,
yeah,
that's not right. I love
true.
James Taylor.
Oh, come on.
I love James Taylor.
I do like James Taylor and Dan Fogelberg, just in small doses.
Yeah, Dan. Okay, Dan Fogelberg, I can take.
Oh, and then someone magically morphed him into John Fugelsang.
Oh, I think that was me actually.
Dan Fogelsang.
John
Fugelsang.
Berg.
All right. Chris, with the last one. Oh, Steph, I forgot one of the best Wuss rock songs ever, Just When I Needed You Most by Randy Van Warmer. Oh, God.
They all start the same way.
Yeah,
I know.
It's like we need an arpeggio of some kind.
Wait, there's a standard Wuss rock opening.
Back when
synthesizers were just coming on the market.
Yeah.
And they sounded like Casio.
Yeah.
I stared out the window and I struggled for something to say.
Wasn't there a single bass singer in the whole singer-songwriter?
Closing the door.
I want to see how high I can see.
In your way. Now I miss you more than
and my testicles.
Missed you before and now where I'll find comfort. God knows.
Jim, I think I finally figured out the genesis of heavy metal in the 80s. It's when men's testicles descended in mass.
Put on some AC/DC.
Oh, God, I've been holding those up there for an entire decade.
I live in hell!
I gotta bite the head off a bat and play some heavy metal now.
It's actually he bit the head off a dove.
Whatever.
Yeah.
All right. You love me.
You won't see Air Supply doing that.
Yeah. No, you won't see Air Supply doing that.
Don't you want to come back and talk? No.
No.
God.
You left me.
Run it off.
You said I wasn't man enough. Please, won't you come back?
We know why she left him.
As long as I prove how sensitive I am.
Oh, he probably turned out to be gay, too.
Anybody know anything about Randy Van Warmer?
Where is Randy? Whatever happened to
He's
Randy Van
warming his van right now.
In a van down by the river.
Just saying, I smell Fire Island.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Bethany in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, hello. I just wanted to say that this is a symptom of media controlling what's important. I this reminds me of Lou Dobbs a year before the financial collapse starting this issue, and we all saw how fair and balanced he was. And I just wanted to say that I feel there's too much control in this kind of tactic.
You're talking about the Sherrod story?
I think it's real dangerous, and I'm the one who called defending Blago. And I still believe 3 years later that Bush's torture, lie about few bad apples was still a bigger story. And we were so distracted.
Yep. No, I mean, this Sherrod story is a new low, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's the so-called liberal media trying to prove how not liberal they are.
Yep.
By going after Democrats immediately.
Yeah.
And giving Republicans the benefit of the doubt.
See, we can be the most unfair to Democrats. Look what we did. Shirley Sherrod yesterday.
I'd like to talk to him a little bit about the experiences of people like me, people at the grassroots level, people who live out there in rural America, people who live in the South. I know he does not have that kind of experience. Let me help him a little bit.
You know, it seems like the president really did come out yesterday and talk about this in a way that he, you know, I hope, Jim, at least they take that from this, that this 24-hour news cycle, it does not mean that you have to react immediately. I mean, at least I hope we learn that story.
But then you get scooped and then you lose.
Yeah.
You lose
I
the
mean,
news cycle.
The competition is fierce. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you get scooped a few times, then you lose all credibility.
Yeah, so what if a few people lose their
reputation?
I know, I understand.
So what if we get the wrong president because of it? When will Al Gore concede? He's got to concede. It's been reported somewhere that he's losing, so it must be true.
Yvette.
Concede, Al, concede. Go! Come on, what are you waiting for?
Yvette in Washington, D.C. Hello, Yvette.
Yes, hi. I'd just like to talk about how the right wing has gone to new talking points trying to undermine Sherrod. The latest one is that she's racist against Republicans, and again, they're leaving out of context her entire point. She gives this history of how elite whites divided lower class blacks and whites during colonialism and instituted slavery and forbade intermarriage, and she says it's about power, and the elites are still doing it too today. And she said, I have not seen so much mean-spiritedness and racism come out around the healthcare debate with some Republicans. And she says, we've endured 8 years of Bush, and we did not have that kind of behavior. And then she returns to her theme, all races need to come together. So the new right-wing talking point is she's racist against all Republicans.
Yeah, I know.
So beware of that. I mean, they have nothing else. They're still picking and choosing what they want to put out there about.
Oh, yeah. Wait till you hear Right Wing World today. I mean, it really is unbelievable how they're trying to spin this Shirley Sherrod story.
And what people forget is that her father was murdered by the Klan.
By a white guy. And this whole story, I mean, she's an inspiration. This whole story that she was telling was a story of her redemption and her, being able to come to grips with the unbelievable. Let's go to Ed in Jacksonville, Florida. Hey, Ed, welcome.
Hey, you know, that lady just spoke, she actually stole my thunder. It's the whole thing with the Sherrod case where the guys, these Republicans, are trying to pick a new story now. Since the cut and paste job didn't quite work out, everyone is seeing that for what it was worth. Now it's well, look at what she said on the other parts of the tape. And the question I have for them is, well, why didn't you play that? Why didn't you play the other part of the tape if the other part really?
Because it doesn't fit their story.
Yep,
exactly.
Doesn't fit their narrative.
Exactly. 18 minutes after the hour. Speaking of which, you won't believe what they're since I said it. I guess you will believe what they're saying in Right Wing World when you hear it next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Make it stop. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, the home of 70s wuss rock. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, with a request. Hello, Sue.
Good morning. First of all, Make It Stop was a game they had on the radio here, and I beg you with every ounce of my being, please make these songs stop. Okay? I have a grandson, a son. Please, they're shriveling as you play them.
They're getting estrogen poisoning, as Jim Ward would say.
Seriously. And just, you know, unfortunately, you know, Randy Van Warm es muerto.
Yeah, we found that out.
He did not die of estrogen poisoning. We apologize.
Two important things about him, though. He wrote a hit for the Oak Ridge Boys called I Guess It Never Hurts to Hurt Sometimes.
Oh God.
Yikes.
And his cremated remains were sent into space in 2007.
We just found that out.
He's not at a Van Damme by the river. He's in a satellite orbiting the Earth.
See, he made her snicker. See? Jim Lord is a bad man.
I really think that we could make it good if I could find my genitals.
It could make it, girl, if only you could, you know, find the right parts. Yeah. Hello, Vincent in Detroit.
Hey, everybody. I was calling about that earlier caller saying that Sherrod was milking the system.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. I think he might have been a freeper. He had all the traits. You know, I really like your show. And right.
Yeah, she's really, yeah. And don't you love Brain Fart, Andrew Brain Fart?
Breitbart.
Andrew's not so Breitbart. Yeah. He told Politico that the Obama administration and its allies have manufactured a controversy over the video that he posted of Shirley Sherrod's speech as part of an orchestrated effort to take him down. So you see what he's saying?
So
he's the real
victim.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm public enemy number one or two to the Democratic Party, the progressive movement, and the Obama administration based on the success my journalism has had. No.
Computer says no.
It's because of the shoddiness of your journalism.
Yeah.
It doesn't
care. It's beyond
care.
Shoddy. It's my propaganda. God, he's a wuss.
Yeah. He's a wuss rocker.
They forced me to edit those tapes.
Maybe he's going to be stricken with estrogen poisoning.
Maybe. He offered no apology to Sherrod and said she had not been held accountable for the racial overtones of what she said.
Overtones.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Andrew? If your father had been shot and killed by
a black man in
the most racist kind of way, you might have a little bit of animus toward... Yeah.
Well, he does anyway, even without that.
All right.
Yeah, but he has it without reason. She, you know what?
Exactly.
I kind of give her a pass for once thinking that way, but coming around.
Yes. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, and see
what... We're already there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We already are. But wait, there's more. A.B. Stoddard on the Britt Baer Show. It's the president, once again, who's racist in this whole thing.
I think the expectation that Obama somehow promised us that's along the line that he was going to heal racial wounds in this country is completely false. And when he wanted to be post-racial, he didn't want to deal with it at all.
Oh, I see. Yes. So you see, he hasn't healed racism yet in the country, Jim. So it's
so he's an abject failure.
Yes.
He didn't want to deal with it at all. He gave one of like the quintessential speeches on race that we've ever heard in this country. Okay. Drug-addled gas bag Rush Limbaugh on the Sherrod Conference.
Now the temple is, do you deserve a phone call from the president? The White House wanted you fired. The White House didn't listen. The White House took another kind of... White House was afraid of Fox News. For all I know, the White House orchestrated this whole thing.
I see.
Made Breitbart edit that tape so he would look bad when they revealed... What?
Wow, he's fallen farther and farther down the... didn't he yesterday say Breitbart was set up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Oh, but now he's got the whole thing together set up
by the White House.
Nutcake.
If only we were that good.
Oh. Yeah, I know. We're not organized that well enough to pull off something like this. Are you kidding?
Wow. I oftentimes, Jim, have to ask Chris, what did Glenn Beck mean by that when we were about to play a bite in some right-wing world?
Yeah. And
I
tried to explain, but I wasn't successful.
You don't really know.
Yeah.
So somehow the lies and the smearing, it's not against Shirley Sherrod in this case. It's somebody else.
What? Through their lies, through their deception. Through their calling of names and smearing, it fits right in with what's happening with Sherrod. The next thing they have to do is take over the media. That's what's next. Period. That's what this Sherrod thing is all about.
Oh, I get it now. Yes.
You do?
They set up Breitbart to make Sherrod look bad. So that they could take over the media and send everyone to FEMA death camps. See, I've proven it because I have a picture of Adolf Hitler with an arrow pointing towards Sherrod. It's so obvious. Why can't anyone see it?
Wow.
It's the fluoride, isn't it?
What? So surely Sherrod wasn't lied about and smeared? It was...
Yes. It was Breitbart? Breitbart were smeared in this, apparently.
But what do Shirley's buttons say on her nightgown?
My buttons are screaming at me. Screaming. Screaming.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with more Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What are we going to do?
Boys, boys, we're going to drink till she's hot.
Hey, that's just crazy enough to work.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. And now, back to Wuss Rock. Erin in Madison. Hello, Erin.
Hello. Hello. I would like to petition to be the official mom of a 3-year-old who thinks Stephanie is Rachel Maddow and an 8-month-old whose angry cry sounds just like Double Kitty of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Why, thank you, Erin. That's quite a distinction.
I assume I'll be the only one.
Okay, I think so. And may I just take a moment to say,
stop it!
It's the creepy double kitty I do with my cheeks.
That's evil.
Like when he's mad.
Mm-hmm. There you go. All right, Erin.
The guy who called in earlier said that Open Arms was Air Supply. It's actually Journey.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, Journey also dabbled in the Wuss Rock. Yes,
they did. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but at least they had.
Thank you for that correction. The Stephanie Miller Show apologizes for the error. Okay. All right. Janice in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Janice.
Hi. I just like to say that the whole media, across the whole spectrum, liberal, has a black eye because everybody ran with it. And I have a little conspiracy theory.
Oh, go ahead.
Andrew Breitbart or whatever his name.
Brain fart.
He helped to create Huffington Post.
Yes, he did.
He
helped create Huffington Post.
Oh, dear God.
And do anybody kind of, you know, get the picture that Huffington Post has turned into nothing but a Democratic firing squad? It's like
Democratic what?
A circular firing squad.
Oh.
And I'm like, some of those stories over there are planted just to get you riled up and mad at the Democrats. And I that's my conspiracy theory.
Oh, I see. That somehow, Andrew, all right. Yeah, Andrew Breitbart said he feels that he's held to a higher standard. Oh, no. No, not really, yes. Gutter snipe.
The standard that requires you not to lie and edit things. And to
selectively.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Cedric in Virginia. Hi, Cedric.
Hi, Steph. This is Cedric.
And Cedric,
I call
pardon.
Myself, it's okay. I like to call myself a progressive soldier. I'm all there for the cause, but there's two things I'd like to get to. One is business first, and then I want to get the pleasure with you before I get off.
My.
The first
then
one,
you'll be a soldier of love. Mm.
Yes. I will stand at attention for you anytime you like.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, okay. I'm sorry that didn't come off too well. Mm. We need to get rid of Blue Dogs. We need to get rid of all the old money taking people who take money from lobbyists, and we need to our base needs to
ooh,
be.
Ooh, we need to get all the people who take money out of politics. We'll have that done by the end of next week, I bet.
Yeah, it's going to be a long fight. But that was what I wanted to say. I mean, I really think we need to get a pair. You know, the Democratic Party. We should be a little bit. We should stay with our progressive roots.
Exactly. We need to stop being the party of Wuss Rock. Exactly.
Well,
all right.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court has decided that you know money equals speech. So,
yes. Juliet Huddy, let's finish up our right-wing world, shall we? Before we get to dessert, Juliet Huddy on the Fox and the Freaks and the Sharon case.
If you go on to listen to the tape, there are things that I think are incriminating for her that I do think raise a lot of questions about whether or not she should be in the position that she held in the first place.
Uh-huh.
If a white public servant said, you know, we sent him to his kind, meaning we sent a white farmer to a white lawyer. That's what she said she did. His
right.
kind. If it was slipped around,
sure,
be
right.
raising hell, trust
right.
me.
Mm-hmm. Was your father murdered by a black man? Think about that.
Yes, and also, by the way, she said that she did that because she felt, you know, she wanted to do everything. She'd go above and beyond to prove that she was doing her job, which obviously he confirmed that she went out of her way to make sure they kept their farm.
Yep. but that was a plant. Those weren't the real farmers.
Mm-hmm.
That was CNN with their diabolical left-leaning communist plot to make racists look bad.
Ann Coulter, boy, she's still around. God
yeah.
bless. She's become like the mummy, hasn't she, of right-wing world? She's like a crypt keeper. She's...
It's great news for America that with the entire mainstream media desperately looking for racism among, you know, Tea Partiers, according to polls taken by the New York Times and USA Today, are a quarter of all Americans. We're talking about, you know, 70 million people, and they can't find one genuine act of racism. They have
really?
To keep giving us hoaxes. It shows you that we don't have racism in America anymore, so just knock it off with the charges of racism.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Ann Coulter has declared there is no racism in America anymore.
Okay.
Okay.
We're done then.
We can go home.
Wow. You know what? You can kind of find footage from any Tea Party rally anywhere, and you can find a sign of racism. What do you mean we can't find any genuine racism?
She doesn't get out much anymore.
How about what just happened to Shirley Sherrod, for instance? There's something pretty recent. All right, prostitute toe sucker Dick Morris on
the very basis of the Barack Obama brand is that he is post-racial. That's how we first met him. That's what he has always been about. He is literally getting in the way of his brand. He's vitiating his own brand. Now, when he does that by suing Arizona on immigration, when he does that by not prosecuting the Panthers, when he does that by firing her and then reinstating her, all of that makes him not post-racial.
Oh, I see. Once again, the president is racist because Arizona made a racist law, and the president is racist because, okay.
He fired her and then rehired
her. He didn't fire her, but I see. Yes.
I'm trying to follow Dick Morris's logic.
He can't. Quotes. Don't try.
Get quotation marks on the word logic.
Okay. Shirley Sherrod yesterday talking about speaking to the president.
Just had the conversation with the president and was very, very good conversation. Well pleased with how it went. And he wanted me to know he's supportive. And I've been dealing with some of the same issues he's had to deal with through, you know, especially over the last 5 years.
All right. Senator Bernie Sanders, our good friend from the great state of Vermont. Lots going on outside of this, would you believe?
Yeah.
In the country. We will talk to the good senator next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, she has one of these liberal talk shows that nobody listens to.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. So the president, the $34 billion jobless benefits bill went to the White House. President signed yesterday, did he not? Ending months of stalemate in Congress. Yahoo. So help is on the way, as the rhetoric once said. I think that means that federal checks could begin flowing again as early as next week to millions of jobless people who lost up to 7 weeks of unemployment benefits in this congressional standoff.
What a communist.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he signed yesterday into law a restoration of benefits for people who have been out of work for 6 months or more. Congress
lazy
had
bastards.
Approved the measure earlier in the day.
Waiting around for their government checks.
All right. I'm sure they can barely even get out of their lazy boys to go get it. But all right. One of the people fighting the good fight on behalf of the regular folk in the economy, Senator Bernie Sanders, our good friend from Vermont. Good morning, Congress. Good morning, Senator.
How are you, Stephanie?
I almost demoted you. I'm so sorry.
Well, I was there for 16 years, but we're in the Senate now, so.
Yeah. Senator, so good news, finally, after all this obstructionism.
It is good news, you know. And it's going to mean a lot to 2.5 million workers who, in the midst of the worst recession since the Great Depression, in many ways have just, you know, run out of money and are not able to find the jobs that they need to take care of their families. So we know there's a lot of desperation and fear out there. People, I think, had a hard time understanding why the Republicans filibustered and prevented us from doing that. So it took, by the way, the appointment of a new senator from West Virginia to give us the 60th vote so that we can get those checks. so.
Mm-hmm. Senator Sanders, I guess the president pointed this out, but I just further evidence of how really partisan this has become. I mean, they voted for them under George Bush. As the president said, this has been a bipartisan thing historically. The fact that it was this hard to get something this critical done for the American people is depressing, isn't it?
Well, Stephanie, I would go beyond the word partisan into the word obstructionism. And we should be very clear about it. And I think, you know, people like Mitch McConnell, who is the Republican leader here in the Senate, would not deny it. Their strategy from day one has been to say, we are going to slow down the process. We are going to do everything that we can to prevent anything from happening that's going to benefit working people. And then we're going to run a campaign which says, had enough? Have these guys done anything? And hope that the media will not be talking about the reality that these people have initiated more filibusters than any time in the history of the United States Senate, that every damn vote of importance requires 60 votes. And when you don't have 60 votes, it's hard to do as much as we would like to do. Yeah. But this is a very clear example. I want to talk also about an irony. The ostensible reason that Republicans filibustered and did not support the extension of unemployment benefits is, well, we have a very large deficit. We have a large national debt. We just can't afford to do it without paying for it. What I want to tell you is that just 2 days ago, the Republicans brought to the floor a bill to completely eliminate the estate tax, which would give $1 trillion in tax breaks to the top 0.3% of our population. Mm. It was not paid for. So the absolute hypocrisy out there of saying, oh, we can't help, you know, the 2.5 million workers who have exhausted their unemployment without paying for it, but we can help millionaires and billionaires who will get huge tax breaks, $1 trillion over 10 years, and we don't have to worry about paying for that. Yeah. I think I can't think of any example which is clearer in telling us where these guys are coming from.
Well, and Senator, you know, boy, I love the storyline, too. The president hasn't gotten anything done. You know, right. Health care might not have been as progressive as you and I would have liked, but it was historic, and we got it done, and it's a start. You know, financial reform, huge and historical, maybe not as tough as you would have liked it to be. But, you know, the other thing is you're working, you know, you're taking what we're given, and the president's getting a lot done, I think, in the face of just relentless obstructionism. But you're asking him to appoint Elizabeth Warren to be the director. Director of this Consumer Protection
Bureau. The reason for that is I've known Elizabeth for many, many years. And among other things, Professor Warren is the person who came up with the idea about the Consumer Products Financial Bureau there. It was her idea to begin with. And second of all, she has already shown herself as the chairperson of the TARP Oversight Commission to be smart and to be very, very tough and willing to stand up to Wall Street. And what I can tell you is our friends at the major financial institutions and the big banks do not want her there. They do not want her protecting consumers. And that should give you enough information as to why we should support her. But she has had guts. She is very, very smart. She is very articulate. She can explain complicated issues to the American people, which is something that we need. And I hope very much the president will appoint her. That bureau, that agency will be as strong as its next director. If she is the head of it, it will be a strong bureau. Now, the other point that I want to make is you are right in saying that anyone who would argue that in the last year and a half we have not accomplished anything is absolutely wrong. In fact, some would argue that this has been the most productive Congress and administration in modern American history. And you talk about not only health care reform, and you're right. I am a single-payer Medicare for All advocate. This is not that, but this does a lot. It provides insurance for 30 million Americans who have no insurance. I work very hard on doubling the number of community health centers in America. Another 20 million Americans are going to have access to the primary health care as a result of that. We're going to be doing away with this absurdity of denying people health care because of pre-existing conditions, et cetera. Financial reform, same story, not as strong as it should be by any means. My own view is you're going to have to start breaking up these huge financial institutions, which are so powerful. On the other hand, this bill does a number of things. We played a role in that, and for the first time seeing an audit of the Fed in terms of their emergency provisions, people will get a glimpse into the secrecy of this very powerful institution. So your point is well taken. On top of that, remember, and this is, you know, what the Republicans are trying to do, is to say, look, look what's going on in America today. We have a huge deficit and a huge national debt. Well, they're right. How do we get that deficit? How do we get that deficit? Mm-hmm. We got that deficit because these guys gave us a war, two wars, that they forgot to pay for. They gave us huge tax breaks to the richest people in this country, forgot to pay for. They gave us the bailout of Wall Street, which they forgot to pay for. They gave us Medicare Part D, they forgot to pay for. And then they said, well, see, Obama has this huge...
Look what Obama did. Yeah.
Yeah, look, it's Obama. Yeah. In other words, the world started on the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated. There was no prehistory. Second area. Hey, I get emails from Vermont people say, you passed this stimulus package, there's still unemployment. Yeah, no kidding. I don't know that anyone thought that passing a stimulus package would wipe out unemployment in America. Unemployment is outrageously high right now. We're looking at 16% of our people who are unemployed or underemployed. But what the statistics now tell us is that we are actually creating more jobs than we're losing. Mm-hmm. We're moving into positive territory. Is it enough? Nowhere near enough. When Obama became president, do you remember what the job loss were per month? 700,000 jobs a month.
A month.
So, okay, are we where we want to be at the end of a year and three quarters? No. Are we beginning to gain some jobs? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember John Boehner screaming about where are the jobs when we were losing 700,000 a month under Bush.
Exactly. Exactly. So, again, we're not where we want to be, but we ain't losing 700,000 jobs. We're gaining a few jobs.
Senator, let me ask you quickly, though. You know, obviously a lot of people have said, look, you know, the president obviously has really, you know, exhibited unprecedented bipartisanship, keeps reaching out, reaching out. One of my fears is that he's going to do that and not appoint Elizabeth Warren for that reason. He's going to try to go with someone that, you know, is less offensive to the Republicans.
In my own judgment, and, you know, I think there are some people in the Congress who agree with me, many do not. I think the president has made a serious political error in that regard. I think what the Republicans have said up front is we're going to do everything we can to obstruct you. That's what we're going to do. What's the antidote to that? How do you fight that back? Do you still keep reaching out your hand as we did disastrously in health care, begging a few Republicans to come on board, looking like fools? Or do you say, well, tell you what, you ain't going to work with us, that's okay. We're going to go out to the American people, and we're going to rally millions of Americans who are going to stand with us when we take on the big money interests on Wall Street, when we take on the insurance companies, but we are going to create the kind of jobs programs that we need to put millions of people back to work. The stimulus package, the much maligned stimulus package, which certainly has not solved all of our economic problems, you know what? It's created about 2 million, created and preserved about 2 million jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't bad.
Yep.
It is changing national priorities. If you're seeing around this country a lot of money going into energy efficiency. We're putting more money into sustainable energy. I know in my state we're doing a lot of infrastructure work in the state of Vermont, rebuilding roads, bridges. So that's going on all over America. Is it enough? No.
Right. But and also, I mean, look, the financial reform, I mean, you know, we have to do something or we are going to have the same crisis we just had. One of the things they keep throwing at the Obama White House is, oh, they're anti-business. Well, we've got a rising Dow. We have swelling corporate profits. Are you really telling me corporations aren't making enough profit in this country? I mean, you know, they obviously need some degree of regulation or we're going to be right back where we were.
Well, of course. You know, the truth is, you know, and it's the truth, honestly, I am not, you know, a terribly partisan type guy. I'm an independent. I'm not a Democrat, not a Republican. I caucus with the Democrats. But I think what we have really objectively got to look at is the Republicans have very few ideas. And what they run is a lot of disinformation. And what they do is appeal to some of the more baser instincts that are out there.
Right.
In other words, okay, question. There are the overwhelming majority of scientists in this world believe that global warming is A, real, B, that it is man-made, and C, that it is already, forget 20 years from now, it is already causing serious problems all over the world. What is the Republican position on cutting greenhouse gas emissions and transforming our energy system? They don't have much. All right. What is the Republican position about putting millions of people back to work? Do they have any real ideas other than the ideas of tax breaks for the rich that Bush...
Well, they do have some ideas, and those ideas are repealing all of your ideas.
Yeah.
Right. You're getting back to deregulation. In other words, that's a good idea. Let's give Wall Street even more authority to do all the wonderful things that we know that they have done. Let's give BP.
Right.
Why don't we take away some of the environmental regulations on BP?
That's worked out well. Exactly.
Yeah, or the coal mines, et cetera, et cetera.
Senator Bernie Sanders from the great state of Vermont, so sorry we're out of time. Always such a pleasure to have you. I hope you'll come back soon.
I sure will. Thank
All right.
you, Stephanie.
There he goes, Senator Bernie Sanders.
I love him.
Ha ha. Take that, Tom Hartman.
I wish
neener, neener, neener. I stole your Bernie.
I wish I lived in Vermont.
Except for the reactor and...
And except for the cold.
Leaking, but.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour, John Fugel saying on the Celebrity Hotline, Celebrity Stack, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. I'm being mocked this morning for my naivete. Well, first of all, I am cranky because I didn't sleep all night because I got treated for insomnia yesterday, and it kept me up all night, whatever the hell that acupuncturist did. He put seeds in my ears. Which we think I might have been punked by the acupuncturist. He might be laughing his ass off with his family.
I put beans in her ears.
Told her to help her sleep.
That stupid radio skank. She paid me money to do this.
I also went to get because my back keeps going out because I have my broken foot, and also that I'm told acupuncture helps your bones heal faster. So he gave me some sort of herbs for that. Not sure that's.
But at least you're wearing pants.
Yes, those of you calling in at 1-800-STEP-1-2 will want to know the fun fact that Rebecca Taylor, our associate producer phone screener, is currently not wearing any pants.
Yeah.
Because she spilled coffee all over herself. But she's wearing a very long t-shirt
and she came
in to show us.
And it was belted.
She belted
waist.
It. Yeah.
She has a saucy belt on. Sassy. And cute little sneakers.
Sassy.
All right. All right. This is a sad little show. I'm in a lawn chair with a heating pad on next to my mobility scooter, and my screener has no pants.
And I'm doing bits from 10-year-old Saturday Night Live sketches.
Yes. All right. Laundry. At least we are not the people in... where is this? This is kind of the summer horror story.
Oh?
Dead jellyfish.
In New Hampshire.
Yes. Stung 150 screaming babies.
What? Well, no, not just swimmers.
Yes, but children, a large dead jellyfish wreaked havoc on a New Hampshire beach yesterday, stinging as many 150 people, most of them children. The jellyfish had broken apart earlier in the day, and when officials tried to remove its carcass, the floating pieces stung those in the water.
Yeah.
A jellyfish can retain its stinging ability for a short time after it's died, just like Republicans.
Yes.
Weird.
Well, that's actually a very serious thing, because as the oceans become more acidic, there'll be more things like nasty things like jellyfish. And fewer, more benign species.
Yeah, so the kids are all fine. They were treated with, I don't know what you do, put some...
Baking soda
on it, sure.
Or you can pee on it.
Yes. You just urinate on them. And
that would make your day considerably worse. That's a bad day when you've been stung by a dead jellyfish and then peed on by a park official.
I grew up near the Chesapeake Bay, and we used to go water skiing out there, and there were tons of jellyfish there. And to protect yourself against it, you would go water skiing with pantyhose on. Seriously.
Okay.
And it protected you against jellyfish.
But, of course, if you see a big jellyfish, you're going to pee yourself anyway.
And your legs look delightful.
And many of those people grew up to sing Wuss Rock in the 70s. Right. Magically, we brought it full circle.
Yeah.
Oh, we had a woman on the line that wanted to defend the women in the 70s that led to all the whiny male singers, but I wish you couldn't hold.
Oh.
I'm just saying we understood why all those women left them, because they're whiny bastards.
Mm-hmm.
You left me just what I needed, you Rainbow Barbie. Okay. Let's see. Julie in Seattle with some breaking fart news.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. There's a new product that you might want to be apprised of. There's no graceful way to introduce this product. We'll just cut to the chase. Subtle Butt.
Excuse me? Subtle Butt?
Subtle Butt is a disposable patch of fabric with an activated carbon layer to which stench adheres and gets neutralized. If it's loud, you are on your own. Subtle Butt does nothing to muffle sound. It only has to do with the
smell. Mm-hmm. Activated charcoal?
So you have to be blowing a vuvuzela at the same time, so no one will, they'll be what? Definitely fired.
It would seem like if it's a particularly powerful one, though, you would blow the subtle butt right off.
No, because it does it adhere right to your ass?
Apparently. In light of, here are the fun facts about it. In light of Subtle Butt's utility for you attorneys, it shouldn't surprise that the inventor is a lawyer. Kim Somebody, founder of Solutions That Stick. Which sells Subtle Butt. She isn't just the inventor of Subtle Butt. She's also a user.
She's also a client.
As she said, I use them on airplanes. Oh, that's nice. After a chilly meal. And even on my dog. I bet your dogs don't like that.
No.
Hey, what are you doing back there? What do you put? Huh? Some customers have even told me that it saved their marriage. Subtle Butt. Just,
Yikes.
Fine products we would like to call your attention to.
I've found that on an airplane, the seat cushions do a good job of.
Oh,
you really? That is gross. Someone has to sit in that after you.
So?
Oh. No, you can always tell once we reach a certain altitude. It's suddenly something wafting from the front of the plane. And 10 people have just farted in the seat cushions thinking no one's going
to
notice.
I used to think it was just me, but seriously, doesn't altitude do that to you?
Yes.
Your intestines?
Well,
dear God. I don't know what it is.
Because the gases expand as you...
Yeah.
But seat cushions on airplanes do a good job of...
No, they don't.
Yeah, they
you
do.
You don't know how many cab drivers and people to pick me up at the airport I've had to go, I'm sorry, flying makes me...
Really? You do that?
Well, altitude. No, gets you. I don't know what it does to your intestines. I just
explained it to you. Gas expands as you climb.
Okay.
As you, as
but, well, okay, I'm just saying some people have said I'm full of, they're like, no, it does not. That doesn't have that effect on everybody, but I thought it did. Flying makes me... Exactly. Hmm. All right. Cheryl in Ohio is chuckling over...
too funny.
Cheryl, does flying have that effect on you? Because I've been told that I'm full of it.
No, just the bean aisle in the local grocery store.
The bean aisle,
and
yeah.
I just push my cart down really fast. Nobody seems to notice.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Hey, listen, I saw that, back to Shirley Sherrod, I saw the interview on The View that she had with her. And you know what I'm amazed at is all these Republicans and these neocons that were apologizing, why they didn't bring up the fact that she was on the phone and texting while driving through Atlanta, Georgia. Do you understand the thousands of people she could have killed?
That's true.
Exactly. So she's the real villain. She's the real villain here. That's exactly it.
But at least her boss told her to pull over and type her resignation letter.
Exactly.
Instead of while doing it while driving.
Shirley Sherrod yesterday on Andrew Brain Fart. Shirley Sherrod on the
Would
CNN.
Would you consider a defamation suit against Andrew Breitbart?
I really think I should. You know.
Yes.
I don't know a lot about the legal profession, but that's one person. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get back at.
Yay!
Yeah.
I say yay! It's about time. Mm-hmm. He deserves it, seriously. Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary, yes.
She has a unique set of experiences and a unique opportunity to continue using those experiences to help people. That's what he said to her, and obviously a decision about what she's going to do is up to her.
The president called Shirley Sherrod Thursday to express regrets about her dismissal and urge her to accept a promotion, but she hasn't, there's no word yet.
That's because she's probably getting offers from other people as well, so she's weighing all of her options. Seriously?
Yeah, actually, Obama tried to call her twice but couldn't connect, because I guess she was fielding other offers from bigger names, apparently.
No, it was because she was getting so many prank calls and hate calls.
Like, right, oh, sure, it's
that
the
she
president.
She had to turn her phone off.
Yeah.
That's why they couldn't reach her.
Like, all right, stop, whatever, yeah, I'm Barack Obama, sure, you go, what, huh, it really was?
No, she was getting death threats.
Yeah,
so
no, I know.
That's why
I
she
know.
Had to turn off her phone.
Robert Gibbs again.
The next time I hear about an event like this and a decision that's made somewhere, that you stop and ask, did we look at the whole context? Did we look at everything? Do we know when that story was? Do we know what her background is? Do we know how the story ends? I think some stuff like that is helpful and reflective.
Yeah. Maybe just take a pause or two. Marco Samlitsis talking about the Shirley Sherrod.
Instead of capitulating, they should have gotten all the facts, and they should have gone to war against these people who are out to destroy them. I mean, Andrew Breitbart has made it very clear that he wants nothing short than the destruction of the NAACP and of Barack Obama. And so when you realize that you have an opponent, an enemy who's out to destroy you, puts out material, vet it first before caving to it.
Absolutely. He's absolutely right.
Yep. Steve in Seattle on the Sherrod story. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
I just was kind of making the jump here, but the Breitbart story just perfectly was timed to completely minimize the story of the Bush attorneys getting off again.
The Department of Justice attorneys for...
Yeah, all the firing. Of
the attorney firings, uh-huh, yep.
Yeah, I mean, that story has been such a squeak in the media compared to this story, and it's a big deal. I'm not sure why no one is really covering too much of that.
Well, I mean, part of it is our attention span, you know, in this 24-hour news cycle. I mean, it really, that's the thing. It's just whatever the new shiny thing is, you know, you forget about all the other, I mean, we were saying that's a little conspiracy snossage, that this historic financial reform, every time the president has something huge he's accomplished... Oh, look over there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Look what happens on Fox News. Something shiny. Okay, more importantly, Linda in York, Pennsylvania has some jellyfish sting stories for us. Hello, Linda. Help. Did they do that wrong?
I think they did it right.
Hello.
Oh, I didn't.
Kevin. Sorry, Linda couldn't hold. Kevin.
Yeah.
Hi, Kev.
Yeah, good morning, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hello, Steph?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I clearly need therapy. You have just told a nationwide audience about your farting situations.
Yes. Only on airplanes.
And that still didn't turn me off.
Oh, Lord.
You
need help.
That's the sadder story.
All I could think of is that it was somewhere near Stephanie's butt. But anyway, I've noticed something. What the heck is going on that with the Shirley Sherrod story that in the last few days, subtly, except for perhaps Rachel Maddow and the Countdown show, most of the attention is being put on the Obama administration and Vilsack, all on them. How come Breitbart and the Fox noise jackals and Sean Ku Klux Klan and Sandy and all the rest of them aren't being pilloried? They're the ones that started this and fanned it. What?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, to once again make this, somehow this is the President Obama's fault, this whole thing. Unbelievable. 17 minutes after the hour, back with John Fugelsang, Celebrity Stack. Much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I have never experienced the hostility that this little show, which I think is a charming show, is engendering in the community.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour, John Fugelsang coming up on the Fridays with Fugelsang line in just a few minutes. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, well, that'll fix everything at the RNC. Norm Coleman is planning to challenge Michael Steele. Boy, getting your ass kicked by Al Franken, that's got to make you popular in Republican circles.
Why do they fill that position with failed politicians? I don't understand that.
I don't know either. I don't know, but that ought to fix everything all up.
Huh.
Wow, how's about those candidates? Did you see Sharon Angle's press conference yesterday in the parking garage, Jim?
No, I saw her running away.
Exactly. If she were going to be running a marathon, I'd be all for her. Yesterday, after dodging the press for more than a month, she held her first press conference since her primary win in early June. Wasn't much of a press conference like other Republican Senate candidates last night. She dodged reporters' questions and rushed out the door of the building. She delivered a three-minute speech on her desire to permanently repeal the estate tax. When invited by the final speaker to stay and answer a few questions, she turned on her heel and rushed out a back door. Reporters, including one who was 6 months pregnant, chased after her, calling out questions on unemployment benefits and other topics she largely refused to address. All right. Is there going to be some sort of doping scandal like Marion Jones at some point? Or is that, I don't know, we have to... You know, meanwhile, she keeps continuing her violent, borderline, you know, violent rhetoric.
Yes.
Did you see she said recently she's ready to go to war with the negative image Democrats have constructed of her? You know, I don't think this is an accident, this kind of rhetoric. Michael Steele, by the way, recently said, let's get Nancy ready for the firing line this November.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Nancy Pelosi. Sarah Palin, of course, directing her fans to reload against Democratic candidates.
Second Amendment type solution up there.
A little too much gun imagery there for me.
A little bit. By the way, did you see the Boehner admitted about some Tea Party attendees? They want to kill all of us in public office. He offered a rather candid assessment of the Tea Party, acknowledging that some of their activists are violent anarchists. He said, I've been to my share of Tea Party events. Let me tell you about these events. Yeah, there's some disaffected Republicans there. There's always some Democrats.
Computer says
No, there's not.
Always a couple of anarchists who want to kill all of us in public office. But we should listen to them. We should work with them.
Right.
We should walk amongst them with
okay.
a lot of security.
You
but,
first.
You know.
Yeah.
In April, a New York Times and CBS News poll found self-identified Tea Party members more likely than the general public to justify violence against the government. Just FYI. GTK. Just saying. All right. The president was talking about the economy yesterday. And
families across this country are cutting every frill and stretching every dollar as far as they can. And they should expect no less from their government.
He also talked about going through the budget.
We began by combining, by going through the budget line by line and proposing $20 billion worth of cuts each year. By targeting programs that are wasteful, duplicative, or in some cases just plain ridiculous, like the $35 million we're spending for a radio navigation system for ships, since we now have this thing called GPS.
Huh.
We don't need it.
Yeah, good point.
Or the $3 million that was spent on consultants to create seals and logos for the Department of Homeland Security.
Wow.
Their logos and seals are fine. Or the billions of dollars slated to be spent on a fancy new presidential helicopter fleet that I didn't want and didn't need because Marine One is also fine.
By the way, he did a lot better already than those two Republicans on Meet the Press who couldn't think of a thing to cut. They didn't.
Right.
They have no ideas at all of any kind.
Except
what they would cut.
Welfare and Medicare and Social Security.
Stuff that helps, you know, poor people. Stuff. Robert Gibbs yesterday.
We have improved our circumstances, improved our conditions, but I don't think there's any doubt that it's not improved for enough people, and that's what the president and the team will continue to work.
All right. The bad news for Democrats yesterday, say it with me, Jolly Wrangle.
Oh. Jolly Wrangle.
Jolly Wrangle.
You know, as it turns out, it wasn't the mimic that got him in trouble.
No.
Charlie Wrangle.
This couldn't happen at a better time for me, whatever it is, because it gives me an opportunity to respond to my friends and constituents that's been supporting me for close to 40 years. And all I've been able to give them is trust me. Well, now the facts are going to get out, and I think that's good.
Yeah, but the hearings are going to be going on right during as we go through the midterm elections, and that's not good.
Yes. A House committee charged him with multiple ethics violations. The charges by a four-member panel of the House Ethics Committee sends the case to a House trial where a separate eight-member panel of Republicans and Democrats will decide whether the violations can be proved by clear and convincing evidence.
During the election. I'm sure that's a coincidence.
I mean, and so, you know, but that's the thing. I mean, that's why we have investigations and trials and whatever, so
Yeah, but not
the timing of it.
Elections.
Yeah,
Charlie.
Suspicious.
Jolly!
You, what a stupid question. Who hired you? My God.
What sort of bloodline do you come from? Russet? What's that?
That's some kind of potato, isn't it?
Terry in California, real quick. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Stephanie. I hesitate to ask you this, but can I be the official doctor of this Stephanie Miller show?
Uh-oh. Yeah, I'll need you at some point. Go ahead.
I know, and I'm licensed in your state. Anyway, back to the gas issue. I tend to be a little gassy, but definitely flying makes it worse.
Yes.
But
yes.
More importantly, I have...
What sort of doctor are you?
I'm an internist.
Ah, okay. So yeah. Do you sometimes have to treat people for, exposure to you?
Yes, I do. All I can say is Pepto-Bismol, baby.
All right, thank you. 29 minutes after the hour, John Fugelsang next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
When you were a kid, that made you look sexy. Now it just makes you look drunk.
It's Friday. Get up. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, look at this. It's a whole story about the how stressful flying has become. See, so a lot of people, it might be the stress, too, that makes you, We called your attention earlier, too. What's it called? Subtle butt.
Subtle butt.
It's a patch that, because a lot of people like mom get a little,
gassy.
Yeah, on the plane.
You should stop eating that bean dip right before you get on the plane.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Some raw vegetables.
The headline is, as flying gets more stressful, some passengers turn rude. When Mike Nugent flies, nothing annoys him more than settling into his seat, the plane taking off, the passenger in front reclining into his lap.
Yeah.
So he's come up with a solution. I put my knee right in the middle of the back of the seat. They think it's broken. They try to recline two or three times, then they give up. What an ass hat.
That's a good idea.
That is a very good idea. That's a great idea.
He's being a weed.
Because you're the one who puts your seat all
the
way
you're
back
the one,
immediately.
You're the one person on the plane that reclines all the way, right?
You could get that. What do you think it's there for? You can recline.
But that's there are other people around you that
Mike
you need
Nugent
to be...
recline too.
There are other people around you that, you're not the only person on the plane there, Stephanie. Mm-hmm.
And if you're in the second to the last row, the seat behind you doesn't recline.
Maybe you should spring for first class if you want to recline all the way.
There you go.
Long gone are the days when air travel was an elegant experience. Many road warriors say courtesy at the airport or on a plane is becoming as rare as a free hot in-flight meal. That's true. I told you the asshats that made me 7 hours late. They started arguing, and the plane had to go back to the... They were being rude to the stewardess, and we had to go back to the gate. Oh.
That happens.
Did they have to run you through the naked scanner again? So people could post pictures of you naked on the web.
Oh, here's another thing I do someone's bitching about. I don't care whether it's a Big Mac or a Subway sandwich. The food smells gross in a confined place, said one flyer. If you're going to eat a sandwich, get one that isn't cooked and doesn't have onions or peppers.
Yeah.
I always get the Jody Maroney. Sorry.
Oh, Stephanie, you're what's wrong with air travel today.
Sorry.
No wonder you're gassy on the plane.
Why'd you bring a ham sandwich?
I don't like ham.
Bring a turkey sandwich.
Shut up. All right,
you have to bring a sausage with peppers and onions.
It's Friday, and that means...
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
Oh, and remember, Friday is...
Fridays with Fugelsang.
City's on fire. Bulls out of order. They're killing nerves and soldiers. They're fighting on the border. What can I say about Claudette? They've seen us since January. She could be respectably married. Or run a whole house and win.
Cool. Good morning, John Fugelsang.
I want a cool theme song like that.
Greetings from Jeb Country. I just want to say Stephanie Miller apparently on the plane thinks she's the only one whose convenience and comfort matters.
That's
yes.
Right.
And that's why I want to talk to her about joining the Tea Party. I have been in Florida so long, Stephanie, I have joined the Tea Party just to have something to do. And it's a fantastic group of people. I've taken up a collection right now for white people who've been kept down by the NAACP.
Yes,
I hope you'll all join. We are fed up with racism. We just realized it existed now because it affects us. And, this Monday we were furious. The NAACP asked us to purge racists from our ranks. That was offensive. And then on Tuesday, we had to purge a racist from our ranks. But still.
Still. Exactly.
It's an outrage.
Exactly. An outrage. John Fugel saying, what's this whole Shirley Sherrod story? I mean, just what the fox? I mean, unbelievable. They still have no shame. Breitbart not apologizing. Fox News, no way.
Mm-hmm. Apologizing is for Democrats.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And you've got the New York Times pointing out how egalitarian Glenn Beck was about this whole thing. I mean, you know, it's very depressing, but people have to remember something. This stuff's all on tape, and history books are going to record exactly what went down more than they'll record how people responded to it. Shirley Sherrod had a father who was shot in the back by a white farmer and a career that was stabbed in the back by a white blogger. And, you know, Dan Rather told the truth with a false document and got fired. Breitbart tells a lie with a real doctored video and gets to keep a job, and his investors keep funding him. So
yeah,
that's what we're facing here. And you know what? It's great. It's great ammo, folks. Don't get angry about this. Use this to remind your unconvinced friends of which side's playing dirty and which side's got at least understands what morality means. The good news is the dead jellyfish just got a job as Breitbart's fact checker.
Wowies, and look at you bringing two things together. Hi, John.
Hi.
So, by the way, I got to throw some celebrity stack at you. Did you see, Jim, did you see Arnold Schwarzenegger making with the Mel Gibson jokes?
I missed it in these kinds of things of this nature.
It's the superficial reporting, because topical humor is always the best way for politicians to mask how horribly ineffective they truly are. Arnold Schwarzenegger decided to pepper a speech yesterday with a few Mel Gibson jokes. Ha ha, domestic abuse, zing!
Hilarious.
Schwarzenegger noted that while BP seems to have contained its well, no one has figured out how to contain Mel Gibson.
They should have recalled that joke.
Yeah. Did you see, too? He stumbled over it a little bit.
Well, you know, Mel actually just called Andrew Breitbart to see if he can doctor audio tape. So.
The superficial also reporting, by the way, Lindsay Lohan's going to get shanked in jail. I don't know if that's really true. It's just a feeling superficial has. Let's see. Lindsay Lohan already receiving special treatment in jail, including family visits during the week, which is causing her fellow inmates to get pissy, according to the New York Daily News. Other just sprugging inmates have heard that she was paying for special food and new clothes and had a female guard at her disposal and access to a private phone. And apparently, yesterday we reported, John, she's able to have her Ambien and her Adderall in prison.
Wow. Yes.
Well, look, she needs it. Lindsay's a very brave woman serving 2 weeks of a 90-day sentence, okay?
Yeah.
So why don't you get her case?
Yes.
I heard that, you know, if she doesn't behave, they're going to let Wesley Snipes sneak in from the men's ward. So.
And here's the last celebrity story. This is really breaking news. Hugh Hefner thinks women are sex objects. What?
That's breaking news?
Well, the ones he dates are. I mean, he said they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. John agrees.
Well, at least somebody in print media told the truth this week.
Listen, at least he's honest about himself. I know this a fancy orthopedic surgeon in Chicago, you know, who an old friend of mine, Dr. Dan. He's been down in Haiti doing the Lord's work, all that stuff. So he wrote me yesterday about my broken foot and said you should try the bone stimulator. And I said, yeah, I'm already using it. And then he sent me a picture that I thought it was going to be like a medical file information on the bone stimulator. And it's just a picture of a... You know,
large,
ceramic, you know.
Oh.
It's a bow. So it was a little... See, even a doctor was like, ah, ha, ha, you're my
But he was also
stimulator.
A radio producer at one point.
Here's
so that's
a picture of a wee-wee.
Very funny.
All
very
right.
funny.
John Fugel saying, you are a not only star of stage and screen, but a singer as well. We stumbled this week onto Wuss Rock from the 70s. Your favorite...
Yes, Wussy Boy hits of the 70s and 80s, 90s, and today.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get all your Wussy Boy hits of the 70s on one 8-track tape or cassette?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite? Because they kind of all, when we played a bunch of them, a lot of them were whiny. Very whiny.
Yeah, you got your golden age of Styx. You got your sometimes when we...
Babe, I'm leaving.
It's really hard to narrow. I'm more like 80s Wussy Boy when you get into your Lady in Red phase.
Lady in Red.
I think the 80s really nailed Wussy Boy pop hits, because unlike the 70s, 80s had a lot more hair gel.
But see, I posited earlier that's where heavy metal came from, is a reaction to all the wuss rock of the 70s.
That's just true.
You know, men's singers' testicles, it descended in mass, and that's what brought us then the overly macho heavy metal, don't you think?
Yes, that overly macho heavy metal with you know, Costco size cases of mascara to show your raging heterosexuality.
Exactly. See, you tend to be you somehow manage to be in touch with your feminine side and still be manly. I don't know how you pull that off.
Well, you know, I mean, when you do as much waxing as I do, you get used to the pain.
Ow.
So, by the by, in other breaking news, I wanted to get your take on it. Just a disgrace. Did you see the Dan Choi was discharged yesterday? One of the most outspoken gay critics of Don't Ask, Don't Tell said he has been discharged from the Army. Lieutenant Dan Choi was arrested in March for handcuffing himself to a White House fence in protest of the policy. He said that he has been discharged from the Army. I mean, they just can't overturn this a minute too soon, can they?
They really can't, and I love Dan Choi, but I don't know what Dan Choi is going to do when they do finally overturn it, because I live in terror of being trapped in between Dan Choi and a camera every time this happens.
Oh, come on now.
I'm sorry. Dan Choi promotes himself very, very well on this, but you know what? He's right. I don't mean to pick on the guy. He's absolutely right. There's no justification for this in the Constitution or in the Bible, and, you know, all of our allies, most of our allies, have no problem with gay people serving openly. Our Israeli friends certainly don't have a problem with it. And I'll just say it again. If you're afraid of serving alongside a gay man, you're a fag.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And you speak as a friend of many, many gay men. You are, in fact, a...
I'm a fag stag.
Yes, you are. You're a fag stag. Mm-hmm. All right.
You're a friend of friends of Dorothy.
Yes.
Let me get your reaction to this new poll. Hey, Jim, look at this. Bill Clinton's poll, bigger than Barack Obama's for the first time.
This is news.
President Clinton, much better liked than either of his other his two successors, according to a new Gallup poll. 61% favorable opinion of Clinton, 9 percentage points higher than President Obama, 16 percentage points ahead of former President Bush.
Well, it's very fair to point out that President Clinton's poll wasn't that big a year and a half into his first term. He actually had a very tiny poll at this point in his first presidency.
That's true.
And I'd remind everyone else that Ronald Reagan had an equally tiny poll as Barack Obama this far into his first term.
That's right.
So just remember, guys out there, your poll can get a lot bigger.
Here's one poll. Jim and I were talking
about
this.
Your poll lasts more than two terms.
Consult your lobbyist.
All right. Here's a poll Jim and I were talking about, which is we still can't fathom, is that Carly Fiorina was even close to Barbara Boxer, but they're running pretty even in the polls.
Except when you ask about abortion rights.
Yeah, except abortion rights. Check this out. A full 71% of Californians either favor keeping the state's liberal abortion laws intact or making abortion easier to obtain. The same percentage support Roe v. Wade. That's a potential obstacle for Rita as she attempts to become the first anti-abortion candidate to win a California race since 1986. Not only that, but she ran a company into the ground, outsourced thousands of jobs.
Plus, she's so yesterday.
She's so yesterday.
I know. Maybe if we threaten so to boycott yesterday. HP, they'll pay her to go away again. Keep in mind, Fiorina is an ancient Italian term that means listen to what I'm saying right now and ignore my entire professional history. And you know what? If Barbara Boxer, with all of her fundraising abilities, can't beat this woman, shame on her, because the record's there to speak. And it's almost like you're implying that California voters might actually go for some flashy moron with no political experience because they have a good marketing campaign. Are you suggesting that? I hate to think that.
I don't know what you're talking about and what you're implying about us. All right. John Fugelsang, live from Florida on a Fugelsang Ian Friday. We will see you next week, sir.
It's a real pleasure to be here. I'll leave you with one little riddle. What did Charlie Rangel and the new iPhone 4 have in common?
What's that?
Neither will be working in a few short months.
Oh, thank you very much. John Fugelsang.
Good buddy, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
God bless you, kid.
There you go.
Be sure to grab my antenna the right way.
Oh, dear. That's the last.
Chris was already whining this morning that you're not going to get your what? Your iPhone cover or something?
Yeah. Okay. You can order your free iPhone case, you know, for your iPhone 4 now. And I'm not going to get mine until September 1st. Okay.
Why don't you want a Wuss Rock song about it?
If you're talking to me while I'm on my iPhone and my call drops, don't come yelling at me.
I take it all back. Men are just as whiny today, but about their gadgets. Hey, get my iPad. I love it.
Okay. care about the iPad. That's a worthless piece of crap.
Oh, meow. 47 minutes after the hour.
I'm not a fanboy of Apple. I just
sometimes
like my iPhone.
Sometimes when we touch, my iPad's just too much.
47 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the oil spill and more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm doing the last segment on my mobility scooter. Look at me go. I'm ready to go on Friday. Woo! Party time for the weekend. Woo! That is pathetic. Do not take a picture of that.
Uh-huh.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Stop.
So when are you going to start the red wine and corrects it cocktails?
Jim just removed my chaise lounge so I could do the last segment from my mobility scooter.
I have to have a picture of this. I really do.
This, you know what, just when you
Shall
think
I
a grown woman's life
water,
yes, can get more pathetic, this is me. I have had seeds in my ears because an acupuncturist told me it would help me sleep.
And you paid money for that.
All right, and I was up all night. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joe Biden yesterday, the vice president, talking about the BP oil spill.
The well is going to remain shut, meaning the oil is currently not leaking, which is the good news. And we, although there's a storm coming, we think that things are going to hold.
The bad news is the ocean floor is breaking up and there's going to be a huge methane explosion and we're all going to die. But other than that,
have a good weekend. That's why I especially would have a good weekend if I were you.
This tropical storm Bonnie headed right
yes.
that way is very, very troubling.
Going to be
yes.
raining oil and corrects it all over the south.
It's and rain and corrects it.
And they're saying it's really, really early in the season for a hurricane to come into the Gulf like that.
Right. Mm. So obviously work to permanently choke off the oil well has been stopped. It has come to a standstill after ships around the site were ordered to evacuate ahead of the approaching tropical storm. Doug Suttles, BP Chief Operating Officer.
What we have done is a lot of preparatory activities.
Preparatory.
We're doing things like I think we've talked about setting the storm packers in the two relief wells. We haven't yet demobilized people for that. That hasn't been required. So as I say, we have twice daily calls with the National Hurricane Center and with NOAA, and we have what we call trigger times or tee times, which say when we have to leave.
I would like to refute his pronunciation of preparatory. Isn't it preparatory?
No, it's preparatory.
Really?
Yes. Oh, no. You haven't been pronouncing it like that all your life, have you?
No. I've been obsessed with the Shirley Sherrod story, for God's sakes. That's what I've been doing.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And call me Shirley.
Sherrod.
So Vilsack has apologized and has offered her a new position. They're calling it, Chris, a unique position.
Without a doubt, Ms. Sherrod is owed. I would do so certainly on behalf of this administration.
If I were her, I would say, you know what? You're in a unique position to kiss my black ass. That's what I would say. But see, that's why I don't have one of those positions, because I have no class.
And you have no black ass.
It's technically black and blue from scooting. I scoot down the stairs and then I crawl up the stairs, you see. Oh, all right. What?
Why are you? So you're like a dog that has an anus problem.
Why don't
you know, where they scoot their butt along the carpet.
Excuse me.
Well,
yes.
Why don't you set up house on the first floor, and you'll have bring in Chris to give you sponge bath.
No, no, you will not.
I need you to install my Olivia Soprano's wheelchair, my motorized wheelchair on the stairs. Right now you hear my wheels of my mobility, because that's how he knows I'm almost here in the morning, because I have my mobility. So I'm getting some good speed going up in the... Uh-huh. Here comes Mama. Get a little bell on there. Got a big flag in the back.
Just don't hit one of those parking cement blocks.
Speed bumps.
End over end.
Yes.
No, not speed bumps.
Ass over tea kettle.
Ass over tea kettle. Yep.
Exactly. All right. Oh, here's a. Can I have my dueling banjos, please? Here's some racist New Hampshire State House candidate advises Tea Party to be more open with its racism.
Oh?
You know what? I say, yeah, just, you know, let your freak white flag fly. Yeah.
New Hampshire, not really known for its racism. This is kind of odd.
Ryan Murdo, a Republican candidate for New Hampshire State House, has no qualms about expressing his views on race. It's time for white people in New Hampshire and across the country to take a stand.
Okay.
He wrote in a letter titled, "We Must Preserve Our Racial Identity."
Well, at least one of them is being honest.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
About what they want.
Wow. Here was the most important thing I found from this story. Is Lou Dobbs still has a radio show?
Yes. It's about the only thing he has.
Representative Lamar Smith, Republican of Texas, hints at impeaching Obama over immigration.
You can do that.
Where better to go for credibility than the Lou Dobbs radio program? He agreed with Dobbs' statement that President Obama is awfully close to violating his oath to protect the Constitution of the United States by not completely securing the border.
I believe President Obama is secretly a Mexican.
So I guess they would have to go back and retroactively impeach George Bush, wouldn't they, who secured the border less, and since there's been more arrests and deportations under Obama.
And posthumously impeach Ronald Reagan because he
gave
amnesty.
Yes, for amnesty. Hello, amnesty.
Uh-huh.
By the way, speaking of Republican shenanigans, John Barrasso and Jeff Sessions, did you miss this on the Elena Kagan nomination? They basically said judges who disagree with them, they shouldn't be allowed to decide cases, that she should recuse herself from health care
because she has an opinion on it.
Yes!
On it. Yeah.
Exactly. That's it for us. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LeBoy, voice and deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Taylor, who is currently pantless. She's going to have a better weekend than we are. We will see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.